Wow, man, good to see you all. Sounds like you're doing good. Hey, man, what a fun worship time, huh? Man, God, you're good. I don't usually do this, but I want to do this. Let's pray. Let's open our heart. And I say, you don't usually pray? Not before a service. I usually get up here and go, because I could right now. I feel like slowing down for a second and let's just do something. You came. You took the time to come for whatever reason. Let your reason be right now that you really want to hear from God and that He would bear witness to your heart the truth and that He would empower you tonight. Would you believe that with me? Father, we just open ourselves to you and we just ask you to speak to us as your children. And we just ask that your grace would come and bear witness to our heart and give us understanding tonight. Let our eyes see and let our hearts know. And I'm asking you to come and I'm asking you to father us. I'm asking you to align things. Come and restore some things. Come and make whole tonight some things, God. Yeah. I'm asking you to come and be a father to these people. And I'm asking your great grace to come in the room and make a difference in many ways. So, Lord, I thank you for it. I give you all the honor. In Jesus' name. Amen? Okay. Yeah. See, that was powerful. That made the sound system ring right there, baby. Wasn't ringing until we prayed that kind of power right there. I'm going to have fun, I can tell. I feel happy. Don't get scared if you're visiting. Don't leave. We're not weird. We're not. Well, some of them might be, but hey, I learned something about you tonight. You gave yourself away. You're a daughter way before you're an administrator. Yeah, I caught you. Yeah, I looked over there. I said, what? I was like, she is not an administrator first. Amen. We were talking about today never letting your ministry, your gifting, your title, your calling come first. You don't draw momentum from those things and identity from those things. Those things are a humble privilege of expression through who you've become. You're a son, you're a daughter way before you're whatever you're called to. There's so many people that ride the wave of their calling and their gifting, and then their life is like a wave. And no, he's an ever-flowing river, an ever-flowing fountain that never runs dry. You don't honestly have to live highs and lows. It's not a high and low life. Don't think, well, I'm in one of my lows. Just throw that away. It's not highs and lows. Jesus didn't live high and low. He remains the same. Why? Because he's love. His motive is always the same. His reason for being is always the same. Guys, once we become a Christian, the why behind our life never changes. Who he created us to be and who he paid for us to be never changes unless you get your eyes off of that truth and let life speak louder than truth. Yeah. But I promise you, we don't have to live highs and lows. And I just feel like that's important to come right out of gate and just share that with some folks. It's not mountain valley, guys. Every mountain's brought down, every valley's lifted up. We're on the same plane of righteousness and we're walking out truth. The only way it could be highs and lows is if you get focused on yourself and you stay self-centered and all you do is weigh how things are affecting you. And then you come to God for your sake, not his name's sake. See, there's a lot of us have been tricked into a gospel that serves me instead of transforms me. So there's a lot of Christians that aren't very discouraged because their circumstances are telling them so. But yet Jesus is the same in them and wants to love through them and wants to be everything he paid for through them. You have to be very careful that you don't let life speak louder than truth and misunderstand why he came and misunderstand why he lives inside of you. He doesn't live inside of you for blessing and convenience. He lives inside of you for transformation so your light can shine. He lives inside of you so you can walk like he walked, so you can love like he loved. He said, walk in the light as he's in the light. 1 John 2 says, any man that says he abides in him ought to walk even as he walked. He said, follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. Oh, they're all scriptures there in the Bible. They're amazing. He said, you're in Romans 8, you're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Yeah. Whom he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. How in the world did he do that? By filling you with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Why? So you can live the same way. People, don't make this thing out of reach. Don't say, well, that was Jesus. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You're the body of Christ. He said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. He's not talking about miracles and power, for God so loved the world. You can put miracles and power in there, but don't just put miracles and power in there. As the Father sent me, so I send you, for God so. It's very important that you understand why he came. He came to redeem truth. He came to redeem humanity and bring humanity back to what she was created for and empower people to be what God always saw and intended before sin and apart from sin. That's why he tells you to reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God. This thing just isn't about forgiveness. It's about transformation. It's about becoming something new, a new attitude, a new heart, a new perspective, a new reason for being. You have fresh motivation in your life. If you're not careful, you'll just go to church, sing praise to him, and stay the same without realizing it. And you'll live and try to use God to get through the moment instead of shine in the moment. And all of a sudden you actually believe you have a reason for not being okay when he's the Lord. You guys are all right, I can tell. I just see, I told you I usually go, pow. I can't help it. You say, oh yes you can. No, you're not in my shoes. You don't understand. I can't help it. If I don't, pow, I'll blow up. You'll hear by the time the night's over that I couldn't have prepared for this. And I didn't have notes for it, or I wouldn't be able to do what I'm about to do, because I'm just going to go. It happens to me all the time. And I count it an honor. I feel like he has something to say to us. My preparation is being with him and knowing him. It gives him place to speak. When I'm down there kneeling during worship, I'm not just humbling myself because he's Lord. That's part of it. But I'm humbled that I get to be in this position that Pastor would let me come and give me a mic and talk to you guys. I'm not here because I need to be. I'm here because I want to be. That's different. I'm not here so you guys bless me and pay my bills next month. Yeah? So if you believe that's why I'm here, make sure you don't empower that, because that would be twisted.
Yeah.
I'm here because I believe what I preach. I'm here because it's been my life for a while now. Not 22 months, 22 years. That's not forever, but that's long enough for me to know. And ain't nobody going to talk me out of it now. I don't know about you, but if you've been around 22 years, you've experienced a lot. You've had a lot of opportunities to be a lot of things in 22 years. And you can let life manufacture you. You can let relationships manufacture you. You can let people and what they do and don't do decide who you are and how you are. And all of a sudden you think you're in control and you're a product of your surroundings and how you're responding. I'm never going to live that way again. I found that's not the way I was created to be. I'm going to live according to who he is in me and why. And that keeps me free and happy and excited.
Yeah.
In the face of everything. Because in 22 years, come on, we've all faced about everything in 22 years.
Yeah.
Peter said, don't think it's strange. Your brothers are going through the same thing you are all over the world. Don't make this all about you and how you feel, what you think, what you're going through. No, no, no. Make this all about what he went through, what he feels and what he thinks. Let this be about Christ in you, so you look through new eyes that actually bring life and encouragement instead of despair and disappointment. Listen, I've been a pastor for a long time in the sense of the 22 years, 20 of it has been at pastoral level full time. It's a little strange. It's an odd story. Never been to Bible school. I'm not against it. I've just never been. It's just never worked that way. God just thrust me into this thing. People ask me to do what I do. I've never pursued none of this. I never asked to travel. I never knocked on the door to preach. I never thought I would do this. I said no to pastoring 3 times. That's healthy. Oh, yeah. There's people pushing into ministry. And they're not happy and they're not satisfied and they don't feel fulfilled until they're in ministry. That's idolatry. You better be careful with that stuff. You're not trying to get in ministry. You shine where you're at. That's ministry. You become and you be.
Yeah.
And let that open a door if God wants it open. But don't you go ramrodding doors. I think it was healthy to say no 3 times. Because I didn't have a need to be a title pastor and called pastor and be in a church of pastor. I was already pastor of people. I didn't realize it. It's just called loving people, caring about people. What's a shepherd do with sheep? He leads, guides, tends, directs, feeds, and protects sheep. Yeah. I was already doing that in my life. I told him, I'm not a pastor. I'm a warehouse worker in love with Jesus. And just because God's moving through me doesn't mean I'm a pastor. He moves through believers. He moves through His people. He doesn't move through the gifted. He moves through believers. We make it all about gifts, and it's all about believing. Believing He made me worthy. Believing He wants to live in me. Believing He wants to love through me, and me being willing to go ahead and go with Him. Yeah. I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. This mountain valley thing, I'm just going there just for a second. It's coming to me. It's just not letting me alone. If you live by circumstances and you get tricked into thinking Christianity is a survival kit or something that serves me, you're going to even be disappointed with God in the long run, because you're going to weigh the outcome of things and wonder what's wrong, why He's not there, why He's not listening, why He's not answering prayer. And a lot of good, well-meaning Christians that see their need for a Savior actually live in that mentality, and they actually believe God is here to do good things for them. So they wrap all their faith around circumstances changing. They wrap all their faith around the people they need to change changing. And when those things don't happen, they question and wonder why. And somehow they get tricked into thinking they have this special access to God for God to make things the way they prefer. That is rarely the case that things will be that way. But it doesn't change truth, and it shouldn't change you or me. And when it does change you or me, it actually proves we have a wrong understanding of why He's in us and why we're here. And it makes us easy targets for adversity, and if there's an enemy out there, which I believe there is, it makes us easy targets for him, because we're given away. We don't understand why He's in us. And somehow we think He's here to assure that we have a better day instead of a transformed one. I don't need everybody to treat me right today to walk in love. And I don't need my circumstances to go well for me to shine. In fact, I don't need to catch a break to be like Him. And that's just a freeing truth. I don't need my spouse to do anything right or special. My kids aren't even positioned to break my heart. Why? I don't get my identity from any of those things. I get my identity from Him, so I can be well towards all those things, no matter how they are and what they're doing. I'm telling you, if you open your heart and listen to that simple truth right there, and all of a sudden you're finding yourself through Him, and now you're being like Him into those things that we let sometimes matter more. Come on, we've let a lot of things matter more without realizing it than what matters most. And we've actually believed we have a reason to be discouraged. We actually believe and analyze and run it through our mind in a way where we actually believe we have a reason to be disappointed and not encouraged and excited and faith-filled. And after a while of that, you start having more questions than you have answers. And that's a sign of trouble. You guys okay? Listen, please don't live that way. I don't know what you came here tonight for, but I know this is the thing that's on my heart really big right out of the gate, is this mountain valley thing. And don't think you have to come here to get charged up and then go out there to get drained, and make sure you get back here to get charged up and go out there and get drained. That is wrong theology. People say, yeah, but we leak. You're supposed to leak on people, not through cracks. You leak on people, not through cracks. He's anointed my head, my cup runneth. That doesn't sound like empty. Come on. He's anointed my head, my cup runneth. He strengthened me like the wild ox. Why the wild ox? You can't yoke a wild ox. You won't yoke him and break him to tread out the will of another. You yoke this big, massive beast, an ox, to walk in a circle and get nowhere and do the will of another and grind the grain. You're not doing that to a wild ox. He strengthened me like the wild ox. I can't sound like an ox, so I'll make a weird noise. Seriously, he's anointed my head. My cup runneth over. Guys, that doesn't sound like empty. You're the only one that can let your cup be empty and believe it's empty. You say, yeah, but brother, you don't know what I'm going through. See, that's the question you think is legit, and it's allowing you to be whatever your answer is. In other words, it's not about what you're going through. It's about what he went through to accomplish something, so you have a different response. You have a different response. If a family member's struggling in my life, I'm not crying out, God, you got to change them. How much am I supposed to endure? If you have a job and your boss isn't right, you're not looking for another job because you can't take anymore. Guys, you shine. You're Jesus on your job. You're Jesus in the relationships. You're Jesus within the sphere of influence you possess. It's a gift. Your sphere of influence is a gift. You're supposed to be Christ-like. When I say you're Jesus, that's not blasphemy. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Christ in you. Come on, he went to sit with the Father. He's at the right hand. He said, I'm sending another. He's a helper. It wouldn't be cool if I didn't go, because if I didn't go, he wouldn't come. So I'm going, he's coming. And he's going to live in as many of you as would believe. And he's going to reveal who I am through your life and touch the hearts of men. So go into all the world and preach through your life by saying through your life, the kingdom of God is here. Yeah. It's not in meat. It's not in drink. Right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That doesn't sound like discouragement and bummer. And woe is me. Listen, I'm not talking insensitive. I understand challenges. I know bad things happen sometimes circumstantially. It never changes truth, guys. It never changes truth. Please don't reduce this gospel to a survival kit. That mentality alone will make you disappointed. You'll just weigh how everything's going. It's a giveaway. We're a giveaway. I've been saved 22 years. I ask people, hey man, how you doing? My buddy Todd just said, I quit asking people that question. I just don't ask anybody that anymore. Because when you say, hey man, how you doing? Most of the time, people tell you their two biggest trials and say, hanging in there, keep me in prayer. Which means we're reduced to only doing as good as it's going, which means we're always praying for it to go better. And if it's not going better, we're not okay because we have a reason why. So in that place, you're never going to shine. So that would be Jesus like, God, you sent me down here. This place is whack. Like, I do good. They criticize. I heal. They try to figure out what's wrong with me. I don't know about these people. They sound like they just want to debate and fight and hold on to their old way. I know I'm the new and living way, but I'm not sure they want a new and living way. I think I'm ready to beam back up. I mean, this ain't going good. Yeah? Come on. There's so many people in this room, we fought with truth, we knew better and didn't do right. You know what I'm talking about. You had convictions and said whatever. There's people in this room that know what I'm saying. But isn't it amazing he hasn't changed? And isn't it amazing when you're sincere and say, I repent and I want change, he's right there to father you, right there to fill you, and right there to transform you. Why? Because he's God? Because he's love. Yeah. Man, that's so good preaching right there. I'm so glad you came. No, I'm just kidding. Because he's love. People get tricked and say, well, that was Jesus. What are you trying to say? What a setup. You're just giving yourself permission to stay the same. You're separating yourself and he's saying we're one. He's saying Christ in me is the hope of glory. And you're saying, well, that was Jesus. As if you're elevating him and saying there's no way you could. And he said, follow me. He didn't say, sing to me and pray when you're overwhelmed. He said, follow me. He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So if everything's promised to believer and you were the enemy, what would you attack? The belief system of the church. And you'd get us all divided, so there's a street church on every street corner and we all believe different things and we fight over what we believe instead of love. Yeah, if you were the enemy, that's what you would do. Whew, man, it makes you want to cry, huh? It makes you almost throw you in intercession just because we've been deceived, man. We've made it all about our knowledge of God instead of the revelation of His love through our lives. So we've made it all about our doctrine and all about our theology. And we lord it over the value of one another. We just as soon cut a person off to maintain our own theology. Whew. I promise you, God didn't dig all those wells and trenches and build all those things. So He's not obligated to empower those things. They'll only ride as far as they can ride and do whatever they can do. I'm not saying who's who and who's not. But you can't tell me that God built a church on every street corner in every city. But everywhere I travel, that's what I see, and it grieves my heart. And the reason them buildings are all there is because people haven't agreed. People said, well, they're controlling, so we're going to start our own work. Well, they don't see the way I, so I'm going to start. And all of a sudden, discouragement and frustration and dissatisfaction is birthing desire instead of the call and will of God. We better be careful with that thing. I've met people that all they want to do is debate and be right. That's an automatic sign that you're going to be found wrong if that doesn't change. Because it's not about being right. Because if you're set on being right, you're set on making everything else wrong. So the measure you judge, you'll be judged. You'll be found wrong. You'll be fruitless. You'll be a debater your whole life and produce nothing good. You'll just debate doctrine to be right. So you'll sit over coffee and talk scripture and let everybody walk by you and not love. And be mad at your spouse, but you talk scripture. I'm not saying you're doing that. I'm saying don't ever do that. And don't get caught by it, trapped by it, and pulled into it. You see how passionate I am over it? I'm not mad at people that are doing that. I realize the wretched lie it is, and it's robbing people of what they're paid for to walk in and what they're called to. And all of a sudden, they receive a false calling. People say, well, I'm God's watchman. I'm His watchdog. I'm on the wall watching. You be careful with that. Because if that's creating animosity in your heart and you're frustrated and all you do is listen to the preacher to hear what you can hear wrong, then you're in the same boat as everybody that was listening to Jesus. Because you can say so many things right, and if you're listening to hear something wrong, you'll find something that you heard wrong, and it might not even be what was said. You can have three people listen to the same sentence and interpret it different ways because of their hearing, because of their motive, because of the seat they're sitting in. You better be really careful with that thing. You can read your Bible and make it say whatever you need it to say if your motive's not pure. But the pure in heart shall see God. Now guess who the stewardship belongs to of your heart? You. Nobody's your steward. You be the best. You be your own accountability partner. You challenge what makes you tick. If you're sincere, if you're a Christian and you say, I mean business and I want to do justice to the blood and the body of Jesus, then you hold yourself accountable. You be the steward of your own heart. You look at the why behind your life and you find out what makes you tick, where you're living from, what's your reason for being, what's your motive in your marriage, what's your motive in relationships, what's in your heart when you talk about scripture, what's making you tick. I don't know if you're used to somebody talking that direct and straight, but it's in me that way right now, and I can't apologize for it. But I'm not talking in riddles, and you can hear what I'm saying, and it's not mean, it's just convicting. I smile when I'm saying this stuff. I'm about as gentle as I can be with this thing, but I'll tell you, it has stumbled some good folks. Some people that haven't even understood, that don't even realize what's going on. It's blindsided some good folks. And they get busy being right and they say, yeah, but, well, you can't tell me. And then they pull out a scripture to try to qualify something that's not producing life. You don't need a reason to not be like Him. Like, you don't have to find a justification to stay the same. Yeah, but doesn't cut it. See, when you yell, but, you're assuring tomorrow's always yesterday. And nothing will change. When you say, yeah, but you don't know what I've been through, you're guaranteeing tomorrow's the same and you're justified even though you're suffering. Yeah. And there's no answer then. There's no deliverance. Nobody can help you because all you do is reduce yourself to receiving sympathy. The highest grace is that somebody cares. But it keeps you there. Come on. We're not here to say, well, you don't know what I've been through. What about what he's been through? What about him? Who's ever been more right and more perfect and more holy and more loving and more amazing and treated more unjust for it and hasn't changed and never will? See, that yell butt doesn't sit with me. Oh, I'm sorry, it's just passionate. That's powerful. Nobody has ever been as pure as he has. Nobody's been more flawless. And they marked him with all this wrong. And they were wrong. And he didn't even expose it. He gave up his life and said, forgive them. They know not what they do. What's Jesus say? In my warring flesh and blood. And I ain't taking this personal. And they don't owe me nothing because I'm love. And I owe no man anything but my life. Yeah. And then he said, if you want to follow me, go ahead already and deny yourself. So you can pick up your cross. And not be a product of life, but my life. And now you're following me. You know what we've turned it into? A prayer that takes me to heaven and something that blesses me. And now we grab our promise book and pray faith over our day, hoping it goes better. And if it doesn't, we wonder what we're missing and we spend our whole life trying to pray to catch a break instead of become like him. And it's not evil and it's not hypocrisy, it's misunderstanding. I am not talking to a room of hypocrites, I promise. I'm talking to people that love God the best. They know God. And you didn't come here on a Friday night unless you just came to check it out. I'm glad you're here. Check it out. Come on, man. It's time to take authority and accountability for our own lives and our own hearts, not others. Don't listen to a sermon like this for your friend or your spouse. Don't listen to it for your child or your parent. If you elbowed your spouse by now, I'm definitely talking to you. And if you just elbowed him back, I'm talking to you too. We're notorious for it, man. We sit there and we're hurt by one another. We're like, I hope he's listening. I hope she's listening. She looks distracted. Why is she scribbling on her paper? That's distracting. You foul, the binding, lying spirit, I command you off of her. Oh, I know what we do. And we make it all about the person that needs to hear what he's saying. And when you do that, you reveal he's talking to you, but you won't listen because you're hearing for everybody else. You're waiting for the world to change. And he's been calling your name. Because see, the reason you're doing that is because you're hurt by them. You're tested by them. You're tried by them. You're not okay because of them. I'm going to talk real raw and straight with you. Don't sign off on me. It's all idolatry. It's making that matter more than what matters most. If Jesus was anything like that, he'd have never came, let alone make it to the cross. If Jesus was anything like we were trained to be from the time we can remember, trained by life, guys. I say it all the time. If you listen, homeschooled in the wrong home, taught by lies, the spirit of this age and the wisdom of this world was our tutor. The way that seems right to a man. Just the nature of the fall and separation from God and born into Adam just taught you by sheer instinct to live self-centered. Nobody had to teach you to be self-centered. You were that way before you could speak a language. Before you could speak a language, you had the ability to throw a tantrum. Before you could speak a language, you were self-willed. Be real with me. Why? Because every man was born into Adam. Romans 5. And you must be. And we turn born again into something that blesses me instead of transforms me. We make it a prayer to go to heaven instead of heaven coming back into me. Yeah. Yeah. And we make it all about something I get from God and something instead of something I become because of God. I'm telling you, young and old alike in this room, born again, is old things passing away and all things becoming new. You sang it over and over, girls. Make all things new. You make all things. It's like, yeah, you do. What about mindsets? What about reason for being? What about motive in life? Yeah. Why is it always fixing the things we broke? Man, don't make him a genie in your bottle. Don't make him a busboy or a table waiter. He's a father. He's not here to serve you. He's here to transform you. And his love is willing. And his spirit's ready. You got to yield to him like clay. And you got to let yourself be in the hand of the great potter and let the creativity and the master potter have his way with you. Hey. Yeah, I see you too. That is priceless. I want to be just like you. Yeah, I do. How old is she?
1 month.
1 month. And you're staring right at me. Yeah. Say, I see so much light. Yeah. I was holding the little girl. She had just turned 3 one night. And I was praying. It was in the days when I prayed for everybody. It was actually a mistake. But the church feeds on that stuff. They want speakers to come and manifest. Instead of empower and teach and train. So I get on a plane and you live higher and more victorious and free in your mind, your heart, and your emotions. Or we just manifest. And then we look forward to maybe an annual visit and we all come for the manifestation. So it was a mistake. I admit it. But I was took her girl, and you mamas are funny, you know, it's just in a good way. I took her girl. She wanted to come to me. I'm praying, and she's going. And if, yeah, I was right. A good way to melt my heart. I'm just, in fact, I'll walk off and play with her and forget you're here. I picked her up. I had her lay hands on the first two people, three people. Mom's hyperventilating. Man of God, yes, my girl. It was just... Next thing you know, she's laying her head on me with her arm wrapped around my neck. She's got her head tucked onto my shoulder. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm praying. Look, she's out. She's completely out. She's just out. And I'm like, that's strange. She's really out. She's just limp, hanging on me. And I'm praying. I mean, a half hour goes by. I'm just holding her like this. And Supernatural was there for a while. And all of a sudden, I realized my arm was ready to give her back to Mom. Because it was a long time. And I'm praying and I'm talking and I'm being intimate with people and they're crying and we're having a good time. And I got this little girl laying on me the whole time and I forgot she was there in the sense of holding her. But all of a sudden I realized I needed to get Mom to take a shift. So I headed over. I said, can you take her? She's still. My baby. It was so funny. As soon as Mom goes to take her, she just sits her head up. Just like she's as wide awake. She says, Mommy. Pastor Dan killed me and take me to heaven. Kids, innocent, we're too busy trying to figure all that out and say it's heresy. And it's up. Kids have innocence. They don't know how to rebut and debate and use human wisdom. Kids, I wish we'd be all like them. Sound familiar? Unless you become like a little child. He's talking about innocence, restoration to innocence. Not wise in our own opinion. Come on. Life's hardened a lot of us if we really get honest. Experiences have been our teacher rather than the Son of God. He said, don't let anyone be your teacher. You have one. We've let life teach us. We define God through life. He defines himself through his Son. You find God through the Son, not how things turned out. Are you thinking on that with me? You don't find God through how... You don't say, well, God's this because... And we all prayed and then... And God... You be real careful. When you see Him, you've seen the Father. He didn't say when you've experienced life, you'll figure out the Father. If you're not already settled in the love of God through His Son, and you're finding the love of God through life, you'll never get established and rooted and grounded. And all of a sudden you'll question something you should already see. And if faith works through love and we're not rooted and grounded in love, where will we ever viably live from faith? We'll always be driven by need. Are you with me? I'm just taking a few directions here. Things come on my heart. Don't get sidetracked. These are little things you can just go, Come on, most of the time we pray because of need, because of fear. Not because of value, destiny, purpose, the promise of life. Sometimes fear of death, worry of trouble. Pray that I get a good report. Oh my goodness, my child, I think he's... God. Instead of going to bedroom, Father, I thank you that my son is more than what's playing with his heart and his mind right now. And God, I just thank you there's an investment in my boy. And God, no matter what he's making a decision of and a choice in right now, I thank you you'll preserve him, you'll woo him, and you'll draw him. He is called to be mighty upon the earth, not because he's my son, because he's your son. And did I not see when I conceived him what you showed me in that dream? And did I not? And God, I thank you, even if I made a mistake as a mother, you're bigger than that. And your mercy redeem him, and your love embrace him. God, I thank you. And all of a sudden, mama's not a wreck, losing her productivity and weeping every day, calling it intercession. She's actually shining and in faith and effective. Why are boys being redeemed? Yeah? Come on. It's Christianity. It's simple. It's called living by faith. It's called living in truth. Man, really? Can't get away from this. Forgive me. If you can come back, please come back. Don't let me run you out tonight, okay? Listen, I'm just going to say it because I keep hearing it over and over. It's just not settled in me. There's people in this room, and I'm qualifying that. I don't always preach to the room. Usually the things I'm saying are to protect us from being that. I didn't come here to correct anybody. I came here to tell you who you are. Okay, so I'm not here to correct you. I'm not finding fault. I'm not preaching these things because I believe you're missing it. I'm preaching it because we're called to it. But there is one thing I'm qualifying, this thing I keep going back at. This is probably my fourth time. There is some people in this room that are holding on to a belief. It's hurting your life. It's hurting you. You actually believe life has its ups and downs. And you believe that circumstances should have the ability to decide how you're doing, and you're living Mountain Valley. And I'm telling you, I'm hearing it in my heart to just say it again. Challenge that. Question that in your heart. Take a good look at Scripture. Okay, this is good. Look at what that mentality's producing, and then you tell me if it's God. Bam. No. Whoa. You look at the fruit behind that mentality, and then you'll know if it's coming from Jesus or not. But I feel like there's people who's an old school Christian guy that's probably been a Christian longer than me, and you've been in that 70s generation, 60s, and you've been a Christian a long time. Anybody? You might know this. Like midweek service, yeah, pastor, you're a pastor. Years ago, they came up with this great idea. Hey, it's a long haul from Sunday to Sunday. Life is tough. It's dark out there. We need to huddle together and support. And so we almost made like church a huddle time where we like lick wounds and drink Gatorade. Am I way far off or what? So Sunday's a long haul to Sunday. So they got this idea, let's do a midweek service so that we can be empowered to make it till next Sunday. Am I off? It's where the midweek service came from. It's the vision behind the midweek service is to split the trauma of the week. To come and get a Holy Ghost injection so that you can ride the high till the next service. believing that life has the power to drain you and life is tough. And if we don't gather together in a semi-regular basis, you will get sucked dry. Who knows I'm telling the truth? That is so anti-gospel. And I don't usually talk this way in the camera or the tape or whatever's rolling, but it's just wrong. Nothing should have the power to do that to you. You have fellowship with God. You're a cup running over. You're living your life to shine. You're not letting life come at you and overwhelm you. You're living your life to shine. So if you're treated wrong, you mercy and love and forgiveness and tenderness and loving kind, that doesn't make you passive and a doormat. It makes you like Jesus. You say, well, I got to stand up for myself. No, 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 you denied yourself. Well, who's going to stand up for my rights? How do you deny yourself and have all these rights? No, let's get real and talk about this. Like people get... Most of my counseling sessions as a pastor when I was full-time were people disgruntled with others because they crossed lines that they had drawn. Most of my counseling sessions were people troubles. And they shouldn't have, and they should have known better. Well, that really hurt me. The fall of man taught you to be hurt, not Jesus. Could you picture Jesus being hurt? Like, I think we think he was hurt. Like, he's hurting. You show me one scripture where he was sitting sulking saying, I can't believe nobody loves me. Come on, he's breaking the bread on the night he was betrayed. It says it on purpose to get our attention. On the night he was betrayed, it didn't say his lip trembled and he cried and asked why they're all against him. You put a pastor in Jesus' shoes on that night after 3 years of ridiculous miracles and 3 years of laying down your life and 3 years of faithfulness and 3 years of more than the world would contain if written one by one. That's what the gospel says. That if the things Jesus did were written one by one, the world wouldn't contain the books. Whatever that means, it's a lot. So you take 3 years of that kind of resume, highlight clip every day, ministry in action, Jesus, Son of God. You put a pastor in his shoes with a track record like that, and on the night he's betrayed, he's gonna get struck and they're all gonna leave him, Mr. Faithful, Mr. Anointed. They're gonna run for their own life. Here's what a pastor tends to do. Spiritualize it. Well, if they're not for me, they're against me. If they don't gather to me, they scatter. I guess they weren't with me from the beginning. And they're quoting all these scriptures. Now they're hurt and broken. Who can you trust? Pastoring would be great if it wasn't for the people. You put the average pastor in Jesus' shoes in his life and ministry, and he ain't making it far. He needs a camp, sabbatical, and ministry. Because he's 100% good and 100% right all the time and treated like he wasn't. And his own men were trying to decide who was going to sit where, who was going to be first. His own men were having troubles behind the scenes. I'm telling you, it's a recipe for a hurting leader. On your biggest day, when men come to apprehend you and strike you, and the boys that you were intimate with and poured your life into. See, analytically, we qualify. Ali, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread in. If that was us in his shoes, on the night he was betrayed, he cried and said, I can't believe it. Really? For real? You're going to run? You all said you'll die for me. You two-faced, you're not dying for nobody. You're going to run. John, get your head off of me. You want to say you love me, and then when the rubber meets the road, you can't give nothing for me? Well, I'm telling you, I could find better men. Let's take it farther. Let's put the cross on his back and let's beat him so bad you can't recognize him. Let's take it a step further. And now they just said, Barabbas. What an insult. Barabbas. He killed a man. Jesus raises the dead. He causes conspiracy. Jesus is here to make peace between God and man. And they're so deceived after all the miracles. Multiplying food. Raising the little girl. Raising Lazarus. They're going to yell, Barabbas, crucify him. With disdain say, let his blood be on us and on our children. And in love, he lets it happen. That stretched this thing a little. Jesus doesn't have the capacity to get analytical. He doesn't know how to feel sorry for himself. Why? He wasn't born into Adam. He's the last Adam. Yeah? He doesn't have self-centeredness. He's love. The only reason you and I know how to feel sorry for ourselves because we were born into thinking for ourselves, fending for ourselves, justifying ourselves, and if we're not careful, being Christians for ourselves. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow him. Or on the night you're betrayed, you'll call a friend and cry and tell them all about it. And they'll hurt for you and get spiritual and say, let's pray. And Jesus isn't on the line. Right. He's not there to empower you to stay broken. He's there to change your mind, your heart, and your why. Could you picture Jesus going to Golgotha? Guys, they beat him so brutally, you couldn't identify him. The Bible says marred more than any of the sons of men. That means the worst thing they've ever done to a man by their hands, Jesus was worse. Marred more than anybody ever was marred. He didn't just get 39. Lashes and spikes in his hand. They beat him and they clubbed him and they pulled his hair and they kicked him. It was the passion times five. Did you watch the passion? I heard Christians say, well, I couldn't watch it. It was too brutal. I'm thinking you should put toothpicks in your eyes and a vice on your head and make yourself watch it. Because it's real. And it was that bad and five times worse. And he did that for your redemption, not your blessing. Your redemption, not a better job and a pay raise and the car to run right, never have an accident and all the things we wrap faith around. And then when it happens, we're perplexed and backslide. Oh, I've pastored a while. I know what we tend to do. I'm not saying you do that. I'm saying it's been done. Don't you ever do it. Could you picture this? And all of a sudden, Jesus, analytical. And the Barabbas thing's just getting him over the top. And Barabbas is just the straw that's breaking the Savior's back. And he just can't get past it. And it's too much because it's already been too much. And how much is a man supposed to take? Isn't they phrases that we're familiar with? Well, how much do you expect me? Well, how long should I? Wonder if God said, how long should I? You're not sitting here with his spirit in you if he says that. What, I'm just supposed to trust them after all? Wonder if God talked like that to you. Wonder if you knelt in total humility and brokenness and repented for your life and he showed up right here on the throne and said, oh, it's you. What, so now all of a sudden you just cry and I'm supposed to be moved by your tears? How long have I wooed you? How long have I convicted you? Look, like 6 months ago, you had the best chance to come to me I've ever given you, and you totally acted like you didn't hear me, but I know you did. And then you went and caused a lot of hell and a lot of pain in the 6 months, and now you want to come here, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. It's good I don't slumber because you'd have kept me up. I'm telling you, I'm just tired of my heart being on the string of your yo-yo, and I'm just not sure where we stand anymore. I don't think I can trust you, and I don't even think I feel the same way about you. You've had chance after chance after chance, and all of a sudden tonight in the mood of emotion and the piano keys, you want to say you're sorry? Well, maybe you need to prove you're sorry, and maybe I need some time to think about it. I'll tell you what, I'll meet with the 24 hours. I'll call you in a couple days. Sad part is we can all relate to that mentality because we all lived it at some level. But when you put it in God's mouth, it sounds foolish because we know who God is through the Word. But if it sounds foolish in His mouth, it ought to sound foolish in ours because we're made for His image. And if He didn't teach us the language, why do we speak it? Could you imagine this? All of a sudden, He just drops the cross and He can't even see. And He's so bruised, you can't even tell who He is. He's so bloodied, you don't even know if He's a man. You can't even tell who He is. If He's marred more than any of the sons of men, there ain't no way you can tell who He is. You take somebody on a stake and you burn them because you think they're a witch. They've done this stuff to people for generations. And you set up a whole bunch of wood underneath them. And you pour a bunch of fuel on that wood. And you light that match. And that thing, toasty bacon, burns them on that cross or on that stake. And then that fire goes out. And what's left? Can you tell who they are? Can you make them out? Jesus was marred more than anybody ever was. Whew. And deserved nothing. But He took it. Because He knows what He's paying for. And the purchased possession is worth the price. Because He knows what we're going to look like if we get it. And if we surrender and submit and yield. And He comes inside of us. And we're wholly given to Him. He knows what we look like when He's in us. It's well worth the price of His life to bring us back to life. He knows. Nobody pays a high price for nothing. Nobody. We've made this gospel all about the sin I committed instead of the destiny I've been called to. And then we stay stuck in the rut of sin and the confession of sin and the false humility of, well, nobody's perfect. And all of a sudden we think our ability to sin keeps us as sinners, and now He's just forgiving a bunch of sinful people. No, He called you out of darkness. He sanctified you. He set you apart. The Bible says you're to reckon yourself dead to sin. You're to die to sin. That you're free from the consciousness of sin. That you're to present yourself a member to righteousness, producing its fruit to holiness. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by thinking like you've never thought before. They're all scriptures. You go get the tape and follow it out. It's all scripture. You following me? Can you imagine Jesus? And He drops the cross. Father, I can't do this. I don't even know what we're trying to do anymore. I'm just at wit's end because from the time You sent me here, I've done nothing but good. You searched my heart. I've had no animosity in me. I haven't taken them Pharisees personal. I've walked in mercy. But I'm telling you, enough's enough. Barabbas, are you kidding me? Like them people, I saw some people out there yell Barabbas that were in the streets of Capernaum when men were healed, when miracles took place. Some of them people that yelled Barabbas were there when I multiplied food and fed their hungry bellies. And they came back the next day and I called them on their motive and they all walked away. They don't love us. They just need us and they want us to meet their needs. They don't love us. And I'm telling you, if they didn't change by now, they're probably not going to change. Look at me. Look what they've done to me. They've done this to me and I've done nothing but good. If this is the result of me doing good, then what hope do we have for them? I'm just not doing this. They're not hitting me with another club. I'm telling you, if they hit me with another club, we'd have never made it that far. And He can't go there because He's love. We'd have never made it that far. And He can't even go there in His thinking. Pastors preach all the time, Jesus proved His love by not coming off the cross. He can't come off the cross. He's love. Love never fails. He can't change His mind. Coming off the cross, that doesn't disprove His love. And staying on the cross doesn't prove His love. He was slain before the foundation of the world. He came for this moment. He's not second guessing. We make this big mistake. Well, that was Jesus. No, it was love. And He called us to the same. 1 Timothy 1:5 says the goal of our instruction is love. The purpose of the commandment is love. Colossians 3 says, above all, put on love, bond of perfection. He said, this is how we know we love God, when we love one another. Not when we have issues, complaints, first impressions, and bias. He said, when they're one, Father, John 17, when they're one, like you and me are one, when they're one, like we're one, then the world's going to know you sent your son. Man, I hope you're getting this, not just because I'm passionate, hearing it. It's life-changing to me. This is living room family chat stuff. Me, I don't preach sermons. I just pour out my heart. And man, it's here to pour out. I feel it. You see how the words just come? You see how I go from little things and throw out little topics and throw a little thing out there and then go right and... You don't plan for that. I didn't have that in my notes. It's just there. I just feel like it's what he'd say to us if he was standing in the room. When you guys are singing and I'm down there kneeling, you know what I'm saying, honey? I'm saying, Father, search me. You know I have no need to preach in front of these people. I'm not drawing my identity from it. It doesn't make me feel like a hot shot. I'd pick a bigger church. If it was about the money, I'd definitely pick a bigger church. Because I got invites to bigger churches. It has nothing to do with that. I'm here because I want to be. Because out of 600 invites, I pulled his out and it just felt right. And I never asked how big your church was. And I never said a word about an honorarium. And I bought my own plane ticket, didn't I? Yeah. I picked yours out of hundreds and said, I'm going to call them. Why? Because I wanted to. And I didn't ask him if it was 20, and I didn't ask him if it was 2,000. I just said, I hear your heart and I'd like to come. And he said, wow, awesome. And we set a date and here I am and here you are and I'm happy. Yeah. That's how simple it is. No other discussion. True? Simple as can be. No special requests. No special water brand. I asked to stay with folks. They set me up with two fine ones. Yeah. I didn't want to go to a hotel. I just wanted to be with people. Why? Because I love what I get to do and I'm humbled by it and I'm honored and I believe what I preach. Yay. So they set me up with some good ones. It'd be easy to be in a hotel. I'm not saying people that stay in a hotel are wrong. I'm not saying I'm more spiritual than them. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm just saying this is my heart. Matthew 16 says, if any man, don't you like that? That means everybody's invited. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. He didn't say pray a prayer to assure he goes to heaven. He didn't say pray the sinner's prayer. The sinner's prayer is about 80 years old. Do you know that? I'm not against the sinner's prayer, and I'm not against us going to heaven. I think it's amazing. But to me, it's not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is you being transformed and getting transformed from selfishness to love. Putting off the old and putting on the new. Because what's the world benefit if you go to heaven and never change? How's the world going to know Jesus if you just go to heaven and never change? Do you know there's Christians on the earth praying for his quick return to get out of this rat race and hellhole? Crying out for Jesus to come and rescue them from the darkness? When his ideas arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And though darkness cover the earth and deep darkness the people, the light's upon you. So arise, shine, your light's come. Don't pray to escape. Don't say I can't take anymore. Hey, I prayed, I'm qualified, I'm in, man. Get me out of here. You know how selfish that is? You're saying to hell with them, to heaven with me, to hell with everybody else. That's what you're saying. I don't care if they prayed a prayer. I did. Beam me up, Scotty. I'm coming. Come on, if that was the goal, as soon as you'd pray the prayer, you'd vanish. He said, I don't pray you take them out of the world. You just keep them from the evil one. So why don't you and I live sanctified and the wicked one cometh and has nothing in me. Oh, wonder if you're surrendered. Wonder if you're selfless. Oh, he comes. The ruler of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. So why do you care if he cometh? Yeah. Here's what I say to Jesus. I'm down there kneeling when you're singing. I didn't forget. I'm coming right back. I kneel and I say, I have no need to be here. I'm not drawing anything from this. I'm humbled by this. I say, Lord Jesus, you know every person in this room. You know the room. And when this worship thing gets to a place where they transition and they hand me a mic, if they handed you a mic, what would you say to this room? If they handed you a mic, what would come out of your mouth? I say, Lord, as serious as I can ask and pray, let it be the only words that I speak. Whatever you would say if they gave you a mic. And then I stand up and this thing happens to me and I'm Paul. So I'm either deceived or it's Jesus. We'll find out someday. Some people say deceived. Some people say Jesus. We'll find out someday. We'll find out if I was a wicked man or a changed man. We'll find out if I had some underlying motive or if I was sincere. That's not for people to figure out. That's for me to know. When you try to figure it out, you're out of bounds anyway. And then you're probably not shining if that's where you're living. You're busy policing everybody else. Probably haven't spent much time on your own heart. It's just true. I've seen it too many times. It's a frightening thing. It's the measure you judge. You know what judge means? Judge means to presume upon. To actually cast judgment, to presume upon someone. Like you see two young people in the church and they're holding hands and they're walking down and they're 16 and 17 and you go, I bet they're doing it. They're doing it. You think they're doing it? I think they're doing it. And then you start treating them like they're doing it. Talking to them like they're doing it. These poor young kids are like, what's doing it? Birds and the bees times, Mom. No. But you know what I'm saying? That's presumption. You don't know. You just assume. So then you treat somebody for what you believe. I got to stay out of that spot. Is there a speaker there or something? Yeah, it's right there. I'll stay here in the middle. I'll stay in the light. Keep trying to get out of the light. Coming back to the light. When you're pastoring, you talk to a couple and you'll counsel and you'll say, listen, guys, I need to be honest. Are you guys like, man, you're crossing lines. I need to teach you something. Because if you are, I want to talk to you about the why behind it and empower you and say, listen, man, it ain't yours to judge us. God loves us. You don't have to judge us. So you already got your answer to their question. You ask them a question. They go, hey, it ain't for you to judge us, man. Just talk to us about marriage. No, I want to talk to you about your relationship right now. I want to know if you guys are crossing lines. Well, yeah, but God loves us anyway. Well, now listen. No, you don't judge us. Who's ever had somebody tell you they were doing something really wrong and then say, well, don't judge me? When they tell you they're doing something really wrong, you're not judging them. They're already judged. They're already by their own admission and confession. So what you're doing is you're trying to adjust that thing. You're not judging them. You already have the fact on it. It's out of their own mouth. Judgment means you don't judge one another. You don't look. You don't read a book by the cover. You don't look at outward appearance. You don't go, I bet, you know, they probably, yeah. It's just the measure you judge is the measure you'll be judged. It's not cool. Go to 2 Corinthians 5 real quick. I want to nail that down real quick. And then I'll see what we're supposed to do here. I might even be gentle with you. We got a lot of sessions tomorrow. I might. We started at 6. See, I used to always think, this pastor, man, God, why'd you let him do that? He blew this thing out of the water for me. Like all these years I've been traveling and pastors make services 6 o'clock a lot of times. So I'm thinking, wow, that's humbling, that's awesome. They're glad I'm here and they're giving me an extra hour. But it was about 6 months ago I got up to preach, just 6 months ago. I've been doing this a while. I got up to preach about 6 months ago. The pastor said, well, now listen, I want you to know that tomorrow we're meeting at 6, not 7, it's 6. So mark that, make sure you know it's 6, not 7. I want you here for the worship and everything, and don't just come at 7, you know. We moved it up an hour, and we do that sometimes because we're coming back Sunday morning. That way we won't get out quite as late. We just have more time. It just gives people time to get home and do the kid thing. And so we started at 6. It just runs things an extra hour early. And I went, is that why they do 6? I was horrified. I thought, I've been blowing that up for years. They do 6 to get out early? I've always used it as an extra hour. Always. I've never caught it. I never thought it. It never dawned on me that we're starting at 6 because we might leave an hour early. I'm thinking they're giving me an hour. Because I'm traveling. I'm a guest speaker. Special services. I'm thinking, that's gracious. Well, these people were hungry. And the pastor blew the thing up on me. Now my conscience, now I think about it. Now I have to obey my conscience. Now it's like, oh, that's right, we started at 6, so it's really 9. Bummer. Bummer. Why did he do that to me? No, I'll be gentle. I feel gentle. Whatever that means. And we crossed that time thing. Right?
Yeah.
So it's 9, it's 10 after 9 back home. Yeah. I'm an hour ahead of you. So you got to be okay. Here I am functioning. I'm already at 9. You're at 8. Try to catch me. I'm giving you all night to catch me. We'll see who can hang. Oh, I'm pumped now. I go out on the West Coast and I'm like, it's only 9 o'clock to you guys, right? It's 12 to me. I came from the East. See how I'm wearing down and how tired I'm getting? And they go, this guy is whacked. Oh, my God. And I'm like, and at 3, to me, it's going to be 12 to you. And let's just see who can run. You guys ready? And I'm like, and they're like, oh, I think I got to go. I scare them. You always have a few zealots. Preach, bring it. And everybody else like, stop encouraging him. So I'll be gentle, but I want you to see this. This is amazing. There is countless places in the Bible that tell you you died. You don't live for yourself. Your life's not your own. You're bought with a price. You were buried in baptism with him. You died. Your life is hidden in Christ. I'm just quoting different scriptures. Romans, Colossians. You following me? Somehow, we preached a self-serving gospel that made it all about me getting in a book to go to heaven. And the whole gospel is about you dying to everything you've ever been so you can step into everything he is in you and he paid for. It's all about conversion and new life. It's all about putting off the old man and his deeds and putting on the new man. It's all about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Not being conformed to the world, Romans 12:2, but transformed by thinking like you never thought before. So if Jesus is new wine, it has to go into a new wine skin. Come on. If Jesus is the new wine from heaven, if he's the new covenant, if he's the new and living way, if God poured out new wine through his Son, a new covenant that we drink from and live from, it can't be contained in an old wineskin. You can't pour something new into something old. It says, or the skin will burst and it'll be spilled. Wow. Ain't that something? So Jesus' way of making a new wineskin is saying, hey, let's get rid of the biggest problem on the planet. Men living for men when they were made for my image. Men living for themselves when they're made to love. Come on. What do you mean we were made to love? God said, let us make man in our image. And in his own image, in his own likeness, he made man and female. Male and female. Women, you have the same created value as a man. You're not here to serve the man. You're here for God's image. You're here to be found in His image. And if you're in His image, of course you walk in love towards your husband. And of course you'll yield and adapt. Yeah? Come on. Your goal isn't to serve the man. Your goal is His image. And His image makes everything work. He said He looked down and He blessed them. He reached into the fullness of God in the man and He brought out a woman. He reached into the man. He did not make another lump of clay. He reached into what was one in Him, made it two so two could yield and surrender and be one. He did that in the fullness of God in the man, not the loneliness of the man, not the emptiness. Women, you're not here to scratch a man's itch. And you're not here to need to be needed. You're here for His image. That's why you're here. I found it in my Bible. Nobody's going to talk me out of it. The reason woman's on the earth is the image of God. The reason man's on the earth is the image of God. God is love. God is love. You can say He's a lot of things, but He's love. And everything He does flows out of who He is. And God is love. Yeah? So God made man to love. Because He made man in His image and in His fullness. And He put all that He is in man. He can't breathe life into man and man not have who God is in that life. See, we relate to fallen man. We think we're so far less. The Bible says in Psalms, what is man? When I look at your heavens and when I look at the moon and the stars and I look at your... I'm like, what is man that you're so mindful of him? That you would visit him? That you would give him dominion over the works of your hands? That you would consider him? What is up with this man? The psalmist is puzzled. It goes back to created value. He sees men for who He created them to be. He knows the truth about us from the beginning. He had the plan of redemption from the beginning. Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. What is man that you care so much about him? Because I know who he is from the beginning. And on his darkest day, I never lost sight of him. And I'm paid a price to redeem him. And the blood is speaking better things. We turned it into something that serves us. He wants it something that transforms us. So my days of despair, loneliness, anxiety, discouragement, frustration, and anger are over. You say, well, God gave us emotions, Dan. You can't just turn off all those things. He didn't give you those emotions. Adam gave you those. You were born into Adam. And all your emotions came out of a self-centered wellspring. The foundation of your life was you thinking for you. And all your emotions came out of selfishness. You didn't have to study to be angry. You didn't have a test to take a test for intolerance and impatience, for pride or jealousy. You didn't have to crash course and study books to be disappointed and discouraged. It just came naturally, called the fall of man. Why? Because it was all about you from the time you can remember. And you needed loved. You needed to fit in. You needed identity. You needed to be needed. You needed valued. Why? Because man was lost. He didn't know who he was. So when you came to conscious awareness, you needed things. People tell to this day, well, I'm this way because nobody was there to love me. Well, I didn't have parents. Well, I grew up in this. Well, I was this. And I was that. And we're letting that foundation be our reality. Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. You were finding yourself along the way and the person you found was just however you responded to how it went down. They laughed at you in grade school. You either became insecure and introverted and a low esteem or you became a fighter. Because you were living by the moment and the moment was deciding you. And if your parents didn't love you, you weren't lovable. If your friends made fun of you, you were a misfit. You were happenstance. You had no reason to even be born. Next thing you know, you're living lies. And next thing you know, you're in shambles. And your esteem's so crushed that you're living up to the low life in which you see yourself and the low value. I mean, everybody knows what I'm talking about. You must be born again. We've studied a fallen man and we say this is us and we're supposed to follow Jesus. Jesus is the last Adam. He fulfilled what man failed. He is not just your Savior. He is not just your sin sacrifice. He is your model for life. He shows you what life looks like in the Father. And He says, follow me. Yeah? He's not just your Savior. He's your wisdom. He's your model for life. He's the way. Not a good idea. He's the truth. Not some truth. That's right.
Right.
And He's the life. God made man with intention. He's not just so full of life and he's sitting one day and he's made the earth and he's fascinated. Ooh, look at the texture of this dirt. Ain't this... sneezes on it and a man jumps up. Come on! That would be one thing. I guess that could happen, huh? That isn't in your Bible. He made man with intention. And he made man with purpose. And he said, let us make man in our image. And in the image and likeness of God, he made man. So what happened? Adam is grafted in. Adam is one with God. I mean, he is hooked up to the vine. He's the branch. The same life in the vine is in the branch. The fruit's on the branch. Man, till His glory covers the earth, right? Tend and keep the garden. Wow, be fruitful. Multiply. He's not talking about come together and just have kids. He's not talking about, ooh, hey, check her out. Adam, like her? Yeah. Have at it, man. Multiply. Okay? No. He looks down and he goes, wow, this is so good. He blesses them, male and female in His image. He blesses them and says, be fruitful, multiply. What's He talking about? His image. He's talking about multiply His image. Eat seed after its own kind. Come together and what you produce is going to keep looking like me. Because I'm in you and you're in me and we're one. Keep coming together and keep multiplying the earth till the whole earth is filled with my glory. I'm going to put you in a garden space. You tend it and keep it. But you're going to grow out of a 1, 2, 3 room apartment. You're going to start tending the whole earth. And next thing you know, the whole earth's going to look like me and shine like me. Because I'm in you and you're in me. Multiply and everything that comes will be like me. In the fall of man, we have kids for identity. We have kids because of longings. We have kids for a lot of reasons. That's why our kids can make us or break us. It got all perverted. It got self-centered and everything started to feed us. And He said, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Don't let sin against you produce sin in you. Don't say, yeah, but they pushed me too far. Well, they started it. Why wouldn't they did this if they wouldn't? Well, you don't know. Well, how come? As the Father sent me, I send you. The things I do, you'll do. If you believe. What happened? The day you eat the tree, Adam's the day you surely die. Did he fall over dead? No way. People say, well, he died spiritually. What's that mean to you? It just sounds spiritual. What's that really mean? Here's what happened. The image was lost. Man didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy. He became totally cut off and separate from love and became in need of love. So love got cut off from the source of love and became in need of love. What a sad picture. What was love and fulfilled in love became bankrupt and in need of love. You and I were born into Adam, the need to be loved. And the truth is you're created to love, not need love. Because you're grafted into the vine and you're fulfilled in Him. And to know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. Yeah? So why did Jesus die on the cross? To redeem you and restore you back to the Father. He's not the way to heaven. The Scriptures doesn't even say He's the way to heaven. That's what we say. Jesus, He's the way to heaven. No, He said, I'm the way back to the Father. Don't miss the point. He's the way back to the Father, back to the beginning. That's why He breathed on them when He rose from the dead. Why? Because He's day one. His blood speaking better things. He took man back to the beginning as if sin never happened. And breathed like God breathed in man, became a living being as if sin never happened. And the image of God was in man through the blood. Oh, yeah. So let's get that. Deny yourself. Why? You were never made for you. You were made for His image. When Adam sinned, the image was lost. We were born into Adam. We were all born into crisis, identity loss, self-consciousness. By a very young age, you're a product of how you've responded to how it went down. At a very young age. It's not even the real you. You try to fit in, peer pressure, be accepted, prestige, notoriety, reputation. Next thing you know, it's not even you. It's the man striving to be acknowledged, striving to be important, striving to fit in. Why? Because you're lost inside and you don't know who you are. And you're finding yourself along the way and everything you find is a lie. You must be born again. People put all their stock and value into their history, their upbringing, their childhood. There's some people that refuse to recover because it was too bad. Well, let Him snatch you out of darkness and bring you into the light. Let the real you stand up. Yeah. Look, if somebody didn't have the ability to love you, don't think it's because you're not lovable. Look, if you try to drink from a dry cup, of course you're thirsty. Oh.
Yeah.
Drink from a cup that'll never run dry. And one drink, and you'll never thirst again. I read the book. And I believe it. I say it all the time. I've said it 1,000 times over in 22 years. You'd never put metal in a microwave. You could, but you don't. Why? It wasn't made for metal. You go ahead and put metal in there and see what happens. You read the manufacturer's handbook. It tells you not to do it. But if you keep doing it, what will you do to the microwave? Kill it. That's pretty abrupt. Kill it. Most people say, blow it up. She said, kill it. You'll kill it. So read the manufacturer's handbook. Men weren't made to live for themselves. Men were made for His image. The manufacturer's handbook tells us to never live for ourselves. And if you continue to live for yourself when you weren't created for that, what will you do to the product? Kill it. You'll blow it up. You'll destroy the product. So simple. Did I turn you to 2 Corinthians 5? I didn't forget. Let me just read it. It'll make sense. Verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us. That's like the fuel in my tank, man. That's like to grip tightly. It means to hold together. That compels me. It compels me. It's my driving force. It's my motivation. It's the gas in the tank. It's the love of Christ. It compels me because we judge, or it compels us, because we judge thus, not someone, something, that if one, watch this, he's thinking about the gospel. If one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live, that means not everybody's believed on him, but some have. And some live because he died. He died that all would live. And because he died, all died. But since he died, there's some that live. And if we live because he died, we who live should no longer live for ourselves. So it's impossible to be a Christian for you and be scriptural. You can't be a Christian for blessing. You can't be a Christian so your family's protected. You can't be a Christian so your spouse straightens up. You can't be a Christian to go to heaven. Oh my, I'll get crucified for that. It's not your motive. And it's the motive we make all the time. That if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, raise your hand and pray. So you pray the prayer and you're still mad at your boss and you shouted down your spouse. You just make it about a prayer instead of a transformation. You do a street corner little prayer. Try to take them to water and water baptize them. They're probably not going to go. But when the eunuch heard the gospel, he saw water and said, look, what forbids me? That means water baptism was all in the message because it was all about dying, not going to heaven. And it was all about self-centeredness and being your own God. And the eunuch said, what forbids me from dying? He said, only that you believe with all your heart. He said, I believe. They jumped right off the chariot and ran to the water. What a fun day for Philip. They baptize him, they come up, and Philip ain't even there. And the eunuch says, what a fun day. Huh? There's nowhere in the book of Acts where the early church preached the gospel and didn't preach water baptism. It was right in the message. Be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. Be baptized for the remission of your sin. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter, seeing these have received the Spirit like we have, who can forgive them, forbid them water, that they should be baptized? They're constantly thinking about dying to live, being converted. You get it? When we shifted into salvation, we left baptism by the wayside. It's an annual event at best in most churches. At best. Usually never talked about. In the book of Acts, they didn't even talk about salvation without water baptism. In fact, study your Bible. There's not one place in the book of Acts where they weren't baptized immediately the same day as soon as they were saved. Immediately, right to water. Dying to live. Good pastors holding under till every bubble stops. new life through Jesus Christ. Good pastors. Yeah, good pastors. Faith. Get a couple strong men. Let's believe God. See what happens. You know, we could always say if they don't come back, at least they'll be with Jesus. I'm joking. Don't drown anybody. It's a joke. But there's a principle and a truth there. You're not going into the water for any other reason than to die to everything you've ever been and everything that's ever been done to you. So when you come up out of the water, you don't have a past. You have a present and things to come. And you have all things in Christ. So stop talking about when you were five if you're 35. Stop talking about how your family wasn't there for you when you were 12 and you're 42. Please stop being distracted. The one thing that Paul did to lay a hold of that which he laid a hold of him for, which means Jesus obtained Paul with intention. And the thing I do to obtain that which he laid a hold of me for is forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. And he said, all of you follow the same pattern. All of you, as many as are mature, have the same mind. And if any of you think otherwise, even God revealed this to you. But no matter where you've arrived, let us all have the same mind, the same... It sounds pretty passionate. It's the only way you're called to think. You can't say, but Dan, you don't know what it was like growing up. Stop doing that to yourself. It's injustice. You're not growing up. You're whoever you are and wherever you are. So let Jesus snatch you out of darkness. Convey you out into the kingdom of the Son of His love. It's not about when you were... If everybody is reduced to what it was like and what I've been through, then we're surveying to see who's been through the most hell. And there's been a lot of hell. So now we survey the whole room and the best we can do is find out who's been through the most hell and then what? Sing about heaven? I'm confused. Look, in my life, it doesn't matter what happened to me growing up. I could list the whole story, but it's not my story. I'm listing His story. He snatched me out of darkness. People didn't have the capacity. If I'm trying to drink out of a dry cup, of course I'm thirsty. I can't make up for that. You can't make up for lost time. You can't make up for your daddy not loving you when you were young. You can't just live for your dad to hug you. You live to be fathered by God, and now you actually love your dad whether he's hugged you or not, and you pray for him from sincerity for the first time in your life and not need. And all of a sudden, heaven's hearing your prayers and grace and mercy's coming on your dad instead of guilt and judgment. Come on, man. I've met people, their whole goal is just their dad saying, I love you. And they wrap all their faith around that one moment, and it's actually idolatry. Your dad doesn't have to say that for you to be free. Because God said, I love you through His Son, and that should supersede. Why would you let the act of one man trump the act of one man? In fact, I don't even think it's healthy for him to say, I love you, until you don't need him to.
That's true.
Because if not, it'll just feed something. Come on. My dad never said, I love you. My dad drank. He was alcoholic. I drove him home from the bars when I was old enough to drive. I'd go in and the guys drunk would say, don't go with him, Davey. Here, have another beer. And he was dying. He was bleeding out his rectum. He had cirrhosis in his liver, and I'm a teenager. And he'd curse me four-letter words the whole way home and tell me why I'll never be nothing. He's a dry cup. What's that have anything to do with receiving the love of God? You say, well, I can't receive the love of God because I didn't have a loving father. Yeah, not a lot of people did, probably, because not a lot of people are surrendered and sold out to Jesus. There's a lot of people that didn't have a loving father. Some had a father that worked. Some had a father that provided. Not everybody had a loving father. Just because we call Him Father and God Father, why do we say that I have to have a loving Father to receive the love of God? It has nothing to do with the love of God. Christ crucified is the love of God revealed, not your Father. If you're trying to find the love of God through your Father, you're way deceived. You're looking in the wrong field. No wonder you're confused. The lack of the love of my Father was just a reflection of the loss of deception in His life. Has nothing to do with the love God has for me. Why do we make it matter just because we call them both Father? We buy this thing in the church all the time. Well, I didn't have a loving Father, so I just can't receive the love of God. Are you kidding me? Faith says you can. Christ was crucified. The I love you from God comes from Jesus crucified, not your dad. Yes. So guess what happened? I got born again. Guess what happened to my dad? He saw my life and he screamed at me and he yelled at me and he told me I'm on a pink cloud and someday it's going to crash and I'm out of my mind and I need to knock it off. And who are you to come over here and spouting off and telling me like you got anything to you? He screamed at me. He probably doesn't even remember it. He went ballistic because I'm born again. And I went over to share the good news. I didn't even know what was happening. I just backed out. Whoa, I don't even know what's going on. But months later, he followed me out of the house. That was his tradition to always come out on the porch and wave goodbye when we leave, and we'd pull out and he'd go in. But this night he grabbed me by the back of the arm and I heard him choke and cry. I turned around and he's bawling uncontrollably, my own dad. And for the first time in my life he said, I'm so proud of you. Wow. Now I wasn't living for that day. He didn't never have to say that. I didn't fall like a wash rag on the porch. Oh, he said he's proud of me. I'm not living for that. It's idolatry. Knock it off. Stop it. Stop thinking that that is what matters more. What matters more is that you become like Jesus and shine in the face of all this stuff. So that your dad in blindness can see the light. Don't limit your salvation on your dad when your salvation is dependent on God. Don't make your dad matter more than truth and grace. Don't let your dad matter more than truth and love. With a very special guest. Jen. I added the word very.
Jesus thinks so. Ask him.
Are you guys with me or are you hearing me insensitive? Come on, I can talk to you plain because that was my story too. Don't say I don't understand. Yes, I do. And here's the thing. The people that are still talking about what their daddy was and da-da-da aren't producing life, aren't doing good, and aren't shining light. You're distracted. It's time to change the way you think. Because your mindset is not producing life. Go ahead and get free. Get so free that what you think is the problem gets ministered to, and your dad actually changes because of your salvation. Amen. Instead of you depending on God to restore something through your dad, why don't you let God restore something in you and let your dad get saved through you? Because that's what happened to me. My dad said, I'm so proud of you. And I said, okay, what's up? He said, you're changed. I yelled at you. I was mad at you. I didn't understand. But you've lived everything you've said. And you're so changed. I'm so proud of you. And I didn't go, oh, thank you, Dad. I just grabbed his shoulders and I said, that's awesome. So what about you? So if you see this in my life, then why not this in your life? Come on, Dad. This. He backed down. He said, well, I know it's probably false pride, but nothing, Dad. And it's hard to get me back on the leash once I'm off. But I backed off just a little and clipped it. About a month later, he showed up at our church crying. He said, I want to be born again. It's time for change. Isn't that awesome? That sure beats sitting around crying because I didn't have a loving dad. That sure beats saying, well, I can't receive the love of God because I never had a loving father. And making that matter more than what matters most. Listen, I'm going to be straight and raw with you. I am anyway. There's two C's in the end of time. There's two C's of people. People that believed the gospel and people that found a reason not to or just didn't. That's all that's going to be on the earth. Believers and people that didn't. Not went to church, didn't go to church. Not prayed the prayer, didn't pray the prayer. Your life lived reveals your faith. Oh, come on, this is straight. I can feel that. That's powerful. Your life lived reveals your faith. Don't hide behind words. Let your light so shine before men. Two C's. Believers, unbelievers. He talks about two C's, goats and sheep. It didn't say some went to church and the goats didn't. It didn't say the sheep prayed the prayer and the goats didn't. It says you loved people and recognized the needs of others and lived outside yourself. You didn't see nothing. You just lived for yourself. You lived while you're here. You missed while you're here. You're one with me. You've made yourself no part of me. He didn't say nobody in that group of goats never went to church. Don't you let church take the place of knowing Him. Knowing Him will transform your life. It says if you love, it's because you know Him. If you don't love, you don't know Him. 1 John 4 says that. If you don't love, it's because you don't know Him. There's no multiple choice. There's one reason. If you don't love, it's because you don't know Him. It didn't say you don't lead worship or pastor or go on a mission trip now and then. It says if you don't love, you don't know Him. It doesn't even say you don't see your need for a Savior and honor the cross and want forgiveness of your sins. It says if you don't love, there's one reason. You don't know Him. You might know all about Him. You might even be able to preach Him. But that's not the point. Become like Him, and as He is, so are we. If you don't love, you don't know Him, which means I can't know Him without being changed by Him. Whew. So you don't let church attendance take the place of knowing Him. You don't let your ministry take the place of knowing Him. Don't bring your children to church and fail to pursue Christ-likeness, because you'll teach your children church attendance is Christianity instead of Christ-likeness. And walk out humility. And if you walk in weakness, confess it and sit down with your kids and cry and show them what humility is and teach them humility and repentance. So we're not living under condemnation or perfection, but purity and sincerity. And let your kids learn to honor and value your faith. Because you don't just take them to church. You are her. We got to be careful we don't get so good at doing church that we fail to be her. Because I'm not against your lights. I think they're cool. But let's make sure that we don't just get the lights right. And this is doing church. I'm not against your lights. You didn't hear that wrong. I actually like them. I go up there and stand in them. Look good in pink. Secure men can wear pink. Whoa, dude. Whoa. He looked right down at his shirt. Hackled up a little bit. I got to quit. I'm messing up so bad. I told you I was going to be easy on you. And next thing you know, I won't be. Did you see what 2 Corinthians 5 said? You don't live for yourself, but for Him that died. The next verse says, and we regard no man. Therefore, we regard no man according to what? That means you don't see any man for what he appears to be. You see every man for what he's created to be and paid for to be. Because if one died, all died. Don't ever judge a book by the cover, or you'll never open up and read the inside chapters. Yeah. Come on. Don't judge according to the flesh. Don't. Well, yeah, oh yeah, I know Johnny. Who doesn't know Johnny? He's, yeah. Next thing you know, you learn to avoid people and favor others. That's not Jesus. Do you know Jesus got ridiculed by the religious mindset of the day because of the people he hung around and tended to and spent time with? It wasn't so he could be like them. It was so they could be loved by him and become like him. Nobody loves God first, except they see his first love. If all you're doing is trying to get them to believe your doctrine, how will they ever really love him? Yeah. If you're just trying to get the head nod, nobody loves God first, except they see his first love. He breathed on his disciples and said, as the Father sent me, I send you. Fresh from the dead, called them brethren. They did nothing right, and he called them brethren. They're hiding in a room for fear of the Jews, afraid they're going to die next. Jesus walks through the wall and says, peace to you. What a Savior. He didn't say, you're kidding me. Peter, as if three times in one night wasn't enough. Shame on you, man. I don't even know why I called you. Hurt says that stuff. Jesus says, brethren. And men did nothing right. And he calls them brethren. What's he saying? I haven't changed my mind about you. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And he says, if you forgive the sins of any, they shall be forgiven. What's he saying? If you go out there and love them like I've loved you. If you love them in the midst of weakness and attitudes and shortcomings, and you go ahead and you love them like I've loved you, and you forgive them like I've forgiven you, they'll know the way to forgiveness. But if you retain their sins and you see them for what they seem to be worth and producing, and you judge them and you harden your heart and you don't love them like I've loved you, their sins are going to remain. Because how will they know the way to me when you're the body of Christ? We've turned it into agreeing with doctrine. instead of walking in love. We've turned it into a head nod instead of a life change. We've made it all about the books instead of all about the life. Be careful that you don't fall into those lies. And let knowledge puff you up when love edifies. You need any more scripture? I think I gave enough. Whew, that's good preaching. I feel it, man. I can't. I just feel the gospel all over me right now. It's just fun. Makes me want a rooster crow. I'm so sorry. I wanted to be done by now. Well, I didn't really set a time, but I thought I'd be. I'm drowning fast, ain't I? Come on, we can live this life. You be honest with me. Have I preached one thing tonight that you can't live if you wrap faith around it? Apart from any factor of your life. If you throw away the yell buts and the what ifs and you just take every factor in your life and push it aside long enough to say, you know what, I can be the steward of my own heart, my own conscience, wrap faith around this. I can live this way no matter what. Like, it takes two to tango. I'm not talking about the dance. It takes two to tango. I'm not talking about a dance. You know what I mean, right? But it takes one to pursue and make peace. Takes two to tango. You don't have a fight unless you have two. It takes one to make peace. Blessed are the, for they are the sons of God. Not the ones who confess sonship, the ones who express sonship. He said, you say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say, love your enemy. What's he saying? You ain't saying what I'm saying. You say, but I say. Six times, I think, in one chapter. You say, but I say. You say, but I say. The last example, you say, meaning people, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, readjusting what we say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Give to those who would spitefully use you. Why? So that you will be sons of your Father in heaven, who causes His rain and His sun to come upon the righteous and the unrighteous. For what credit is it to you if you love those who are loving you? Don't even the tax collectors, don't even the pagans do that very thing. But when you love those, isn't that powerful? Why am I going to live this way? So you will be sons of your Father in heaven. Blessed are the peacemakers, not those who are trapped in rightness. Blessed are the peacemakers, not those with issues. Blessed are the peacemakers who bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive. And above all, put on love, bond of perfection. Colossians 3. Oh, I read the book, man. It's powerful. Check it out. Ain't that awesome? Or we're just going to trapped paying homage to God and blessing our food and now I lay me down to sleep and feel spiritual because we mention Him at important times in our life. Don't get trapped there. Don't get trapped. Let Him out of you. Let Him out of you. Let your light so shine before men that they see your life and honor Him. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Can I pray something over you guys? And then let's do something real quick. We got time. We can do this. Can I pray something? You all right? Open up your heart. I believe in the grace of God. I actually believe that if your heart is open to these things and you're a sincere yes to what you're hearing, that's a great start. People say, well, how do I become love? Well, you got to have a sincere yes. Not everybody in this room, not everybody. I'm not saying who is and who isn't. But the Lord just showed me that in a room this size, there's always a few folks that don't want to become love. They want to hold on to the rights they assumed through Adam. And they want to say, well, yeah, but you're telling me of somebody and I'm supposed to just forgive them. And they don't want to become love. They want to hold on to themselves and to rights. How can you deny yourself and hold on to rights? Nobody's ever explained that to me. Look, when you deny yourself, you give up every right you have to obtain one, to be like Him. So you don't incorporate Him into your life. He becomes your life. You're not praying to go to heaven. Heaven's coming into you. You're being changed. And it demands that attitudes and things change. That a new perspective brings change. That selflessness produces a new expression of emotions. That the why behind your life starts to produce different things. So you wake up in the morning, Father, thank you for the gift of my life. Man, I used to pray for you to get me through the day. Now I'm thanking you for the gift of the day. God, I used to ask you to change my boss and empower him to knock it off. And now I'm realizing he probably has things in his life that he doesn't understand. And he might be overwhelmed. And he might have had a thing in his childhood that he believes in such a way that it's produced a stronghold in him. And he might just feel mad at you and mad at the world. And I don't ever want to let him be mad at me. Use my life, God, to shine on him, to melt him, and with goodness lead him to change, God. For his sake, God, not because my day will be convenient, so he walks in what he's created for. God, I used to curse my boss, but I bless him today, and I say, let your grace rest upon his life. Yeah? God, I used to dread my job and always say, I hate going to this old hellhole, this rat hole, this grindstone. God, I'm done complaining. I am done complaining. Thank you for the gift of a job and a resource of finance. And God, thank you for a season and a mission field to be everything you created me to be and just sow seeds into men. And you know I want this job over here. I really do. But until that door opens, I'm going to be like you right here. God, thank you. My days of complaining have ended. Come on. Anybody with faith can start living that way. Anybody can start living that way. Yeah. And when your focus isn't you, you'd be amazed how free you are. And don't be afraid to act like me. That might discourage you a little. I'm just talking about you being the best you. Don't say, well, if I'm going to start acting like him, I'm holding on to some stuff. No, no, no. No, let it go, friend. Just let it go. Don't back out now. We've come too far. Don't yell at me. Just be the best you. Amen. Could you come here and help me with something? Yeah, come here. What's your name again? What is it? Chelsea. Oh, it's big right there. Now look at this. I picked her because she's a lady. Her name's Chelsea. I'm Dan. Look at that. You are not going to mix us up. You're not going to say, hey, are you Dan? Hey, are you Chelsea? We don't look anything alike. Besides, we're not the same gender. Is this simple? Watch. So I'm not Chelsea and she's not Dan. I can never be her. She'll never be me. But watch this. We can both be exactly like him.
Yeah.
I'll never look like Chelsea, but I can look like Jesus. She'll never look like Dan. But she can look exactly like him. And that makes us one. It's called the unity of faith. When Chelsea and Dan wake up for the same reason and live our life for the same goal, that makes us one. Thank you. Yeah? Isn't that awesome? So faith will take you there. Unbelief won't. Excuses, complaints, and making other things matter more? Deception. The just shall live by
faith.
It's impossible to please God without, because you'll get caught up with all the yell buts and draw back. And then God can't take pleasure. It doesn't mean he's displeased. He can't take pleasure in you coming to fruition and shining and walking out everything you're created for. He can't take the, like watching your son, you didn't think he'd graduate, and he turned around, he hit the books hard, and now he's walking down, he's getting his diploma, and you're standing there crying, and you just take pleasure in your son. Wow, he graduated. Yeah? When we hear can't take pleasure, we hear displeased. No, no, no. If you draw back, he can't take pleasure in you because you won't become what you're paid for. You won't become what you're created for. So don't draw back, move forward. Believing to the saving of the soul. I'm going to pray something over you. Father, I just thank you for this room. I thank you for a simple yes in our heart tonight. I'm just asking for the grace to put a simple yes and let conviction rest on the soul of your people. And God, I thank you that we're not condemned. We're not ashamed and we're not judged tonight. I honestly believe we're empowered. I honestly believe that these little foxes that have stole the precious fruit of the vine year after year and time after time can be removed forever. That we don't have to think the same way we thought if it doesn't produce life. We can have a new mind, be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And Father, I'm asking you for grace to come on this room and on every soul and every family. Father, if there's been marriages here tested, if they came in here tonight and they heard a message and they're sitting there and almost felt to sense to feel uncomfortable and, oh my goodness, And they both heard this message, God. I just pray that you bring restoration and you take the gloves off, the boxing gloves. Take the defense out of the way. Don't let one wait for the other to change. Let them both say, yeah, I want to become like you, Jesus. Irregardless of the decision of my spouse, I want to become like you. Give them the grace to take responsibility for their lives and take their eyes off of the other. And no matter what decision anyone makes in their life, let them walk out this truth. I ask for every marriage to be empowered tonight. I'm telling you, if you believe that and you feel that way and you're saying, man, I hear you, preacher. I hear you, Dan. I hear what you're saying and I want it. And I'm hearing it for me, not my spouse. I'm hearing it for me. And I realize it's not their problem. It's not about what they haven't done. I've made it that sometimes and I've frustrated and I've argued and I've complained. But it's really about what do I believe? What am I pursuing and how am I loving? How am I forgiving? How am I showing mercy? How am I valuing my spouse? I'm telling you, if you're sitting here with nobody knowing, with nobody having an altar call tonight, if you're sitting there with your spouse and that's your reality and you're going, man, I'm hearing you, Dan, and not for them, I'm hearing for me. Man, you ought to tap their leg, get their hand, get their attention and squeeze their hand. Don't say a word. You don't even have to look over at them. Don't let emotion get in the way. Just grab their hand and squeeze their hand gently. Don't pull your hand away from them if they do that. Come on, marriages, if that's you, I'm telling you, there's some marriages that God wants to restore and heal. And you say, well, it wasn't really that bad. Come on, man, God wants to make things right. I know when I hear these things in my heart, I'm telling you, there's about 5 marriages in here that would benefit beyond description if you would just take their hand and squeeze it right now. Man, if you both grab for each other's hand, that would be amazing. So when they grab your hand, go ahead and squeeze it back. And what you're saying is, ditto, honey, I hurt him too. And I didn't hear him for you. Things are changing. Forgive me, I really do love you. I'm telling you, if you'll do that right now, that's what you're saying when you squeeze their hand. No words need spoken. The grace of God will make the difference. The testimonies I'm getting concerning marriages are almost beyond what I just never even saw it before coming like this. It's off the charts how this message is redeeming and restoring homes and families. Come on, why don't you run the race well? Why don't you stop waiting for them to run? You go ahead and run. Why don't you stop waiting for them to believe? You go ahead and believe. Stop waiting for them to repent. You go ahead and repent. Take responsibility for your life. And if you know you lived one day less than Jesus, then go ahead and carry your cross and follow him. Take their hand right now, spouses, if that's you. Father, I pray for every marriage in this room, and I pray, God, that you make everything strong. I pray that you supernaturally erase unresolved conflicts. I pray, Lord God, that unresolved things would be erased. The effects of going to bed at night with unresolved. Any dulling of the heart, any dulling of the senses, any dulling of the emotions. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come right now upon every union and every marriage. And I pray you quicken the hearts and make the hearts alive in love. I pray that a true sense of compassion would come upon them. That they would begin to value one another sincerely. And that God, you yourself, by your own strong hand, would come and make things right. I bless the marriages in this room. And I bless the homes and I call forth peace. In Jesus' name. If your spouse isn't here, but they were here, you'd have took their hand. You qualified. And I'm believing that grace will come upon you. Father, I thank you for it. Father, let us rise and let us sleep in a right perspective. And let our reason for being stay healthy and strong. And your grace will truly abound. Let this region be touched by people becoming love, not people going to church.
That's right.
Going to church will never change the world. You gather to stir up in love and good works, and then you break and go out looking more like him than when you came. Don't ever let church attendance take the place of knowing him. Church attendance will never change the world. Becoming love has to. God, let us be lovers, lovers of you and lovers of one another. Because we've loved not our own lives unto death. I ask this grace in Jesus' name. Let it bring change. Amen. And amen. Y'all good? Okay. Let's do this. We can do this. I don't mind you letting that play. I usually don't do any music when I do this. But I like that. You let that play. I like that. It's the reason I don't ask for music when we do this, because you don't always have music in the background when you're out there on the streets and when you're at work and when you're in a parking lot or when you're pumping gas. And what I want to encourage you guys to do is begin to reach out and start loving people as best you understand and can. You might just greet somebody, be sincere, hi, help them carry some, open a door. Love has a lot of expressions. If you're financially blessed and you have the means, and even if you're not, but you can afford it, even though you don't have extra, but you can afford it, every once in a while, just recognize a need. See a single mama. See somebody that maybe's not making a lot of money, and you can just tell. You can just tell that things are a struggle, and she's trying to find money to pay for her Walmart stuff, and she's struggling, and she looks pressured, and her kids are pulling on her. I mean, just reach up over her and swipe your card. Just do it and watch what happens. It's so amazing. Yeah. And then she goes, sir, what did you just do? It's okay, Jesus did it, honey. Yeah. Listen, you know you've been asking God for help and you've been asking God for mercy. In fact, there's a question. You've been saying, God, will things ever change? And all of a sudden, she's bawling at the register. Guys, these aren't analogies. These are real things I've watched with my eyes plenty of times. And now she's bawling at the register. And you're prophesying over her life. And you don't even realize it. You didn't even do it to prophesy. You were just being nice. And all of a sudden you're hearing God. And God's speaking through you. And she's trembling. And now you heard what she said to the Lord. And she's really freaked out. And God's right here. Yeah? But God's telling me things are changing. And this is a sign of that. And today I'm seeding into you by the Spirit of God. And right now He says this and that. And that application that you have. And I'm telling you, you're getting a phone call. And God, keep your chin up and your heart up. From whence comes your help? Don't you look down. You look up. Ah, fire of God. Yeah? Yeah, love it. And she's right at Walmart. And nobody's frustrated. Hurry up. The fear of God comes on people. People won't talk. People are just quiet. And they get weird. People get weird. And then you look around to see who's next in there. I'm just having fun. But the first part you do, don't weird people out. But love people. And I'm just having fun. And be real. You see somebody hurting. Who's ever drove down the street and you're not on a heavy time schedule and you actually have time and you're actually heading to go shop, but you're not on a schedule and you see them walking down the sidewalk and you can tell they're really in pain. Who's ever seen that? You don't have to go long to see that. Man, just try this once. Whip off your car right off the road. Be safe. Park in a healthy spot. Don't just whip your car. You know, I'll get these reports. Well, Dan said, we just busted up over the curb. We hit a pole, but just park. Whip off the road. Park. They see you park. You get out and you head towards them. It just freaks people out. They don't know how to handle sincere love. I've had people say, are you a doctor? Why do you care? Are you a chiropractor? Well, no, but kinda. I've had this one. Are you psychic? No. But kinda. Oh, it just wigs people out. And God's right there. You just try this. You do this sincerely. You pull off the car and you're nervous. Just be a human Christian Nike commercial. Just do it. Well, I'm not feeling lead, brother. Put a fishing sinker in your pocket. They're made of lead. Every time you don't feel lead, reach in and squeeze it. And after you feel lead, park the car. Yeah. Just park the car. Now you fell in. When I pastored full time, I had a big chunk of lead right in the front compartment of my desk where the erasers and the paper clips and all that stuff. I had a huge chunk of lead right there because I did a lot of counseling. And every once in a while, I'd get one of these guys in the room, you know, shut the door. Well, listen, man, I'm just telling you, it's time to love your wife. Well, pastor, I know you always say that, but right now, I just ain't feeling lead about that. You're not feeling led to love her? Well, no, because it's just going to enable, and she's going to, and they got their reasons, and they spiritualize it. I ain't feeling led. And I said, listen, we need to settle this lead thing. Open up your hand. What are you doing, man? That's lead. Now that you've felt led, let's stop the nonsense. and start loving your wife. That's how I pastor. That's how I had lead right in my desk. Because I had too many people getting spiritual on me. Why are you feeling led to love my coworkers? They need the fire whipped out of them. No, you need to become like Jesus, friend. Let's get led right now. Ooh, ain't that awesome? Shakabakasa. Ooh, sararabakasa.
I'm sorry. I'll stop. It's the music.
Just think if that was playing in your car, you'd park your car. Listen, this would be amazing. Live outside yourself. You see they're hurting, just stop. Most people won't do it because they're afraid nothing happens. But if you don't park the car, you always have nothing. Most Christians won't pray for the sick because they're afraid nothing will happen. So because they won't pray for the sick, they already have what they're afraid of. Nothing all the time. So let's stop making this about you and me. Let's really make this about Him. Because if love never fails, why fail to love?
Wow.
If you don't sow seed, what harvest do we get? If you're not sowing, what's growing? Bingo. In the kingdom of God, Jen, is as if a man scatter seed. So go ahead and sow into your community. Go ahead and park the car. You watch and see how awesome it is. And it ain't going to be like you maybe thought. And I don't think they're going to pull out a gun and shoot you. And I don't think they're going to curse you. They're probably going to do what I've seen more times than I can remember. They're going to look at you and realize why you're there and go, wait, you parked the car to pray for me? And I smile and say, stop, don't think that's radical. Well, that's, I can't, stop, that's not radical. Don't think that's radical. Let me tell you radical. Here's radical. You ready? Yeah. About 2,000 years ago, God became a man. Did nothing wrong, chose to die to put life in me, to give me all that He is, to get me back to truth and on track so I could love you and have an answer for you in Him. God did that when I did nothing right. He did it all. When I deserved nothing, He gave me everything. Friend, that's radical.
Come on.
Me parking the car is a given. And they go, yeah. You say, now let's pray. Usually they're crying and God does something sweet. Watch, even if their pain doesn't leave, you taught them something, showed them something, and sowed something. And wonder if you don't let go and get in a quandary and drive away and thank God for the honor of releasing the kingdom and believing, and wonder if you don't even see them again, but their pain leaves. Wonder if in the morning it ain't there. Wonder if they get off work and it ain't there. Wonder if they wake up in the middle of the night and go, I haven't changed positions all night. Wonder if 3 days later it hasn't come back and they go, because they can't not connect it to when you park that car. And now they ain't even thinking you because you might not even told them your name. I rarely do. But there is one name I always mention. Because at the mention of His name, things change. So guess what they remember? That man that smiled and he talked about Jesus. And since he drove away, I've been changed. Wonder if the number of faces I'm looking at say yes to this and just start living this way at some level. And just for fun with numbers, just for fun, because I'm not rigid with numbers, but just for fun, just for kicks. However many people I'm looking at, I don't know what this, how many people am I looking at? Do you have any idea? No? What is it? Okay. Let's just say I'm looking at 150 people. Watch. And just one time a day, you step outside yourself and sow a seed into somebody's life in true Christian love. Just one. Times 150, times 2 days, times a month, times a year. Just one. Times your faces, times a day, times two, times a year. I bet you we're going to see some increase. I bet you if we plow ground and plant and water, God's bringing increase. I'll bet you we're the revival. I'll bet you it ain't a mysterious move. I bet it's us moving. Because that won't come and go. It'll flow like a river. Watch. And the farther it flows, the wider and deeper it grows. Sound like a vision you ever read? And along the banks are trees of healing for the nations. You are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. He that meditates day and night doesn't sit in the seat of the scroll. He shall be like a planted by the... Sound like a vision you ever read? I wonder who those trees are. I'm looking at the forest of heaven. Each seed after its own kind. Be fruitful trees. Get pruned and multiply even more. Let's walk in love and love people. Amen? Man, this is good preaching. I'm telling you. Yeah. I felt like clapping. I was like, dude, this is good. Because it's Holy Ghost. I'm not saying that in a weird way. I can tell when it's life-giving. I'm like excited about it. I'm like, this is good. It'll bring change if we live it in simple faith. Won't it make a difference? Amen. Sure beats complaining. Sure beats being disheartened. Amen. Sure beats having a reason for not being okay. Sure beats making it all about us and how we feel in the moment. Wow. See, if it ain't producing life, it can't be Him.